This is Free Talk Live. We'll give you the toll-free call-in line here in just a moment where you can join us. The us in studio tonight is Daryl,
Chris,
and Conan.
And there was an interesting court ruling out of Washington, D.C. that appears to only apply in Washington, D.C. And we'll explain exactly what we mean here. Chris, you brought the story in from CBS, I believe you said.
Yes.
And I've actually pulled up the court order, not going to read all 91 pages of it. Probably not going to read very much of it at all. But when you said D.C. court, before coming on the air, my question was, is this the federal court in D.C. or is it a court, state level, but D.C. is not a state.
Right.
And so looking, it does appear to be something that would be like that state level court for D.C. It is not a federal court ruling. Doesn't mean that it can't wind up being appealed to the federal level and possibly wind up setting dangerous, dangerous precedent nationwide. So what's the court ruling?
D.C. court rules tracking phones without a warrant is unconstitutional.
Okay, well, there's more to the story. That's just the headline of the story.
Yeah.
What's the actual story?
Oh, okay. So you want me to go into it?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I do.
All right, so law enforcement use of one tracking tool called the cell site simulator to track a suspect's phone without a warrant violates the Constitution. The D.C. Court of Appeals said Thursday in a landmark ruling for the privacy and Fourth Amendment rights to the as they pertain to policing tactics. The ruling could have broad implications for law enforcement's use of cell site simulators, which local police and federal agencies can use to mimic a cell phone tower to the phone connect to the device instead of its regular network.
All right, hold on. So yeah, I somehow misunderstood something. I thought you were saying the court ruled that they could track. This says that they cannot.
Uh-huh.
So a lower court had ruled that the Superior Court ruled that they could track, and then the court of
the appeals court says, right, said, nope, you can't do that.
Right.
So the appeals court ruling is the one that stands. So
correct.
It doesn't matter. It would be akin to let's just take an example of former co-host of the show, James Cleveland, who had a charge of, what was it, disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. He was found guilty by a judge at a bench hearing, appealed to a jury trial, which was a higher court. He was acquitted of one charge. The other charge was dropped. Doesn't matter what the local bench judge says. The higher court ruling prevails, so the higher court here says, you can't do this, so that's the ruling that stands.
Right.
So that's a good thing, Daryl.
Yes.
Yes, very good thing.
Sometimes, it is a good thing,
sometimes
but you
it works.
Said before the show that...
I didn't hear that.
I heard that they ruled that it was constitutional.
Well, I guess because I brought the article up right when he walked in, and I read it, so I was I guess we were on the same sheet, Chris.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so this is actually a good thing. Let's continue with the article here.
All right. In a decision that reversed the decision of the Superior Court of the District of Columbia and overturned the conviction of a robbery and sexual assault suspect, the D.C. Court of Appeals determined the use of cell site simulator to locate a person through his or her cell phone invades the person's actual, legitimate, and reasonable expectation of privacy in his or her location, information, and is a search. The Fourth Amendment guarantees the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So, obviously, the Fourth Amendment.
Right. And, I find it rather disturbing that the report that you have from CBS and also the article that I was able to find from
UPI, contradict each other?
They don't contradict each other, but I find it very interesting that they mention a crime that the guy is alleged to have done to make it sound a lot worse. He was alleged to have sexually assaulted someone. Well, he wasn't convicted, you know, that, and it seems to be one of these things to where they sort of want you to think, wait a second, this was a bad ruling because we need to stop sexual predators. So they'll just throw stuff out. It's like whenever the media talks about Ross Ulbricht, you know, the mainstream media, they'll always throw out that thing that he was never actually charged with, never actually convicted of.
Right.
But say, there's an allegation, blah, blah, blah.
No, you mean the assassination attempt?
The thing that he was never charged with and never convicted of that I don't like actually saying because it perpetuates a false narrative that he actually did something that he never actually did.
So you're saying, so wait a minute. So I read in here that they said alleged, right? So wouldn't that be what we want them to say, though? Because, like,
I don't want them to mention the crime at all because they're trying to make this is a really bad guy because this really bad thing. Yeah. We don't want people that did really bad things getting away on technicalities.
I mean, you know, at least they did say alleged, because if they didn't say alleged, because he hasn't, well, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, what other term would they have used? Him. They had to say.
Why even mention what the charge is unless you want people to convict this guy in the court of law to say he was a really, really bad guy. We need to infringe on rights to convict
really bad people. You're absolutely right, Daryl. They're trying to scare us.
And they won't
because this is a bad ruling.
Yeah.
We had to give the police the ability to spy on us because it's for our own good, right? Because sexual predators, because of, you know, bad guys.
Oh, you mean the bad guys like the ones that wear the badge? We actually went over some numbers not too long ago about, and of course you're not going to find this info from the FBI because the FBI doesn't require it, but there was data collected by some like grad student trying to do something and pulled up a bunch of info, and of the top crimes committed by police, assault, sexual assault.
Domestic assault?
Yeah, that's probably one too.
It didn't specify domestic versus regular assault.
That's firemen. They're the ones that beat up their
But assault and sexual assault were two of the top 10 offenses.
It makes sense. That's why you get into the profession.
Yeah, so if you're talking about, you know, bad guys, let's look there, the people trying to, you know, wind up infringing on your rights. Let's go to the phones. 855-450-FREE. We've got Thomas calling in from our very own Keene, New Hampshire. Thomas, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts. Thomas, turn the radio down and actually listen to the phone, because otherwise you're going to be about 10, 15 seconds behind us.
Yes. Hold on one sec. Can you guys hear me good?
Yep, we can hear you just fine. You're listening to the phone now?
Last time I called, I tried to call on Skype, but it didn't work. But what I'm calling about actually directly pertains to what you're talking about. Now, I respectfully disagree, but only because if there's sexual predators, it should be geared towards just them. You know, there shouldn't be any reason why, if you and I text each other about normal, you know, non-illegal business, that they should see it. But if it's like child pornography or human trafficking, things like that, they should be able to. But, you know, that's an issue for the courts.
Correct. Well, so they got to get a warrant first.
That's the key issue here. The way these cell site simulators work is they have to search everybody. They can't just search just the predators.
Yeah,
right?
I know. But remember, there's a certain, like, even when they're searching images, like example of any type of pornography is going to have a complete scheme of like reds, a specific number of reds, yellow, or whatever skin tone it is. Like, they disseminate it like binary, you know, like binary code, as opposed to like there's a person looking at everything.
The cell site simulators aren't looking at images. That's mimicking a cell tower. Thomas, we'll hold you over.
They're committing fraud.
Yeah,
that's
your calls and thoughts welcome. If I ran a phony cell tower, I'd get arrested. This is Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts welcome. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733 in studio. It's Daryl,
Chris,
and Conan.
And you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Consider joining Dash. Dash is digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast. It can be private. It is easy. The fees are low and transactions are fast and in some cases can be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies. Dash is decentralized. It's run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. And anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the network. Join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash, so go to Dash.org and find out why. We're talking about the court ruling out of D.C. Not a federal court ruling, just a District of Columbia appeals court that wound up ruling yesterday that it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment for law enforcement to track someone's cell phone without a warrant, which winds up, according to UPI, they say, putting a dent in a popular technique used by local and federal police around the country. Now, there was a question, and we will get back to Thomas, but there was a question about how exactly these cell site simulators work. And Chris, you happen to know a little bit about how these things
work. A little bit, not a whole lot. But yeah, I mean, basically they have to, what happens is the cell site simulator overpowers the real towers, your real cellular All towers right. from AT&T and Sprint and Verizon that are set up, and whoever else might be in the area. And then what happens is all of your cell phones connect in that area to this fake cell phone, and
right, because the cell phone just knows, oh, there's a signal here.
Right. So and basically that's how they're able to conduct the search and do the tracking and whatnot. They don't actually, it's basically they're committing fraud against you, not just the perp that they're trying to track, but everybody in that area. And these areas are not small areas; they're very large areas usually.
So by large area, you mean couple square miles or couple hundred square miles?
Like square miles probably. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I know it take. I remember one article saying like a good portion of a city, for example.
How do they filter the individual numbers? Can they just type in the number that they want to track and then catch it, or do they have to listen to every call that's coming through, find the one that they want, and track it?
I believe that varies based on there's different ways that the cell phone companies track individuals.
And I think some of it is just using like the metadata. It's not using actual voice recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So I think it also kind of depends on what we're talking about. So like I know normally there's something called geosynchronous. No, I'm not
something.
Sure what it's called. Basically there's different ways to track somebody. And in order to make a phone call or receive a phone call, you actually have to know where the person is roughly. So they might not necessarily have to know exactly where you are down to the meter or something like that, or the whatnot, or number of feet, but they have to know roughly where you are. So, but there was a law that was passed in, I believe, the 90s, that the late 90s, that basically requires them to get more specific information. So even without the cell site simulator, they can go with a warrant to the
provider.
Yeah,
we want this
to your real cellular provider and get tracking and location information.
And why is that so hard? Why can't they just do that? Why do they have to have these special devices?
They're being more invasive.
And read down further in the article, we're going to find how much is actually costing the taxpayers to do this.
Absolutely.
Before we do that, let's go back to the phones. Again, we have Thomas calling in from our very own Keene, New Hampshire. Thomas, you're back on Free Talk Live with Daryl, Chris, and Conan.
Yeah,
Continue with your thoughts.
You guys are basically on point with that. The only thing is that I feel, if they don't have any type of reason, probable cause, like you said, a warrant, there's no reason that they should be doing it. What I feel, though, is example, like with unnecessary searches and, of that's considered, any court order will say that you can look up what number you've called. There you can't dispute that. But the content of your call, whether it's recorded or it's, you know, the it's a text message recorded, shouldn't be unless you're a suspect in a crime.
And I would even go a little further because, all right, you're accused of jaywalking. That's technically a criminal offense. We're now going to wind up recording all of your cell phone information because you're suspected of jaywalking?
That's preposterous. But now if you're involved in human trafficking, child pornography, you know, some type of super illegal activity, not even drugs, but super illegal activity like human trafficking or child pornography, which the federal courts see as like the most heinous of crimes, or now
the, that's why the FBI runs child porn websites to try to
entrap people. Like a bait. Yeah, it's a bait website that as soon as you hit it, they're going to be knocking on your door the next day. But I have an example. You know, I'm not trying to plug the jail paper, but on the jail paper, I have an individual who told myself and another person, you know, that they committed a Miranda-type sexual act of digital penetration on an unconscious individual. You know, but the cops don't have the ability to go and see that this guy did this. But, you know, in that circumstance where, like, if they're trying to be very specific and say if it's a sexual predator, sex assault, where you're protecting, you know, children and other individuals, that I think would be good. But not just because you jaywalked. You know
right,
what I mean?
But like, on something like that, you would think that, you know, they would actually have some kind of probable cause to be able to get a warrant, not just, well, we think it was Conan, so now we're just going to wind up tracking him.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a net. I'm not even sure
I understand what the purposes of tracking somebody like in that type of situation are. Like, wouldn't like?
Well, if somebody,
if you have probable cause, why don't you just go get the guy?
Right. Like,
you might not know where he is.
If you can bring it to a judge, if you can bring it before a judge for the judge to issue the warrant, you know, that's much different than the, you know, some police or law enforcement entity taking on its own initiative to, you know, play CIA in, you know, domestic territory.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is, like, if they had the right to check this guy's, you know, stuff, if they had probable cause, it'd show this guy had contact with some chick that he, you know, did this Miranda type offense.
I don't know. Right. It seems like you get a search warrant in that sort of situation, not like a tracking warrant.
Right, but again, and Thomas,
if you don't have a victim, but if you don't have a victim, you don't have a crime. So in a lot of these sex crimes, whether it's against sex workers, children, things like that, don't have that initiative to get.
Go ahead, finish your thought, Thomas.
Yeah, they don't have the initiative to go ahead and properly inform law enforcement. You know, if you're doing drug deals, it's all adults. And it's people that can't be, like, victimized. When you're dealing with that specific thing of human trafficking and or that, you know, sexual predator factor.
The definition of human trafficking has been expanded so much to where every prostitute is told that she's a victim of human trafficking. I didn't say there is no human trafficking. I said the definition has been expanded so broadly that police say every prostitute is a victim of human trafficking. That's a completely different thing. That's not saying there isn't any. It's just saying that not every prostitute is a victim of it. This is Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts. Welcome. 855-450-FREE.
Have you wanted to get into Bitcoin mining but don't want to deal with the hassle and frustration of operating the mining hardware? Let pool.bitcoin.com handle it for you like I did. Just visit pool.bitcoin.com and use their calculator to estimate what you could end up making. You get to decide which Bitcoin you want to mine. If you already have mining equipment, you're invited to join pool.bitcoin.com. Get all the details and get started mining Bitcoin at pool.bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And want to encourage you, if you listen to the podcast version of this radio show, and a lot of people do, if you listen to the podcast version and you like the podcast, or maybe you don't like the podcast, either way, we ask you to leave us a legitimate rating and review. If you've, you know, only stumbled across it one time, don't just go 5 stars because they said leave a review. But legitimate ratings and legitimate reviews do wind up helping, you know, get us up the list when people are looking for programs on, say, iTunes or Stitcher. So again, if you listen to the podcast version, leave a rating, leave a review using whichever service it is. You know, like if you're not somebody that uses Mac, you're probably going to have a hard time leaving a rating or a review on iTunes. But again, something that definitely winds up helping us move up the ratings and helps more people find the show. And of course, if you are listening live, and we appreciate that tremendously, you can actually call in and join us on the airwaves, 855-450-FREE. The us in studio tonight, Daryl,
Chris,
and Conan.
And let's go back to the phones. We've got Michael calling in from Maine. Michael, you're on Free Talk Live listening to WXME. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hi. Well, thanks for taking my call. I called you guys a few days ago, and knowing my luck, I lost connection, and I was just getting to my point. But anyways, about this whole thing with this court dealing case, I hear a lot of people, and they keep justifying why in certain scenarios it would be okay for the government to do this and for, you know, police to do this and track your phone. And I think that's absolutely ludicrous, you know? It'll start with child pornography and human trafficking, and before you know it, they'll start to find more reason to track your phone. And so before you know it, you may disagree and you may have a different political opinion, and now they're going to track your phone and you might get arrested.
It's not even the perpetrators here. They're sacrificing all of our rights. It's the rest of us.
It's kind of the local police version of some of the NSA Dragnet stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
It's crazy, you know? They don't have any right to do that. it's absurd.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't like it one bit. But, you know, what can you do about it, you know?
Well, you can talk about it,
and you can, you know, lobby your politicians to wind up prohibiting these. Maybe you live in a state where they already have prohibited these, in which case, you know, you're already one step ahead of places like California and Texas and Florida and New York.
That is true. That is true. Very good point, sir.
Yep. Michael, anyways, thank you for the call. Yep. Thank you for the call. Let's get back into this story. I think there's a little bit more from CBS, and then I pulled up a map from the ACLU where they're showing the states where local police use cell site simulators, the states where state police use them, and then places where both the state and local police use them, and all of the states that I just mentioned, California, Texas, Florida, New York, those are all locations where both local and state police, and then there are several more that go in that category.
Before you do that, Chris, I have looked up some of the types of human trafficking, and yes, commercial sex acts, which is, you know, a sex act with anything of value is given to another person to receive sex, is considered human trafficking.
Right, and
so it's not just what you would think, involuntary servitude
and the statute in New Hampshire
coercion. But they could go grab the local prostitutes and who might have some, and it could be drugs
places,
as well.
In some places, they could wind up grabbing someone's spouse because New Hampshire, the definition is consideration. So, honey, you do the dishes tonight and, you know.
Yes, and there's also debt bondage. So if maybe your spouse owes you for that car you bought her.
Wow.
And now we know where jewelry comes from. So let's get back into the article here, Chris.
DC Metropolitan Police use of such cell site simulator technology to nab suspect Prince Jones in 2003 violated the Fourth Amendment, the court decided, against the U.S. government on Thursday.
And again, the Fourth Amendment says the rights of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, blah da 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 da.
Specific place to be searched? Was that in there somewhere?
That's
a different part
of the... Yeah, that's after the blah da 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 da. But again, you know, You are supposed to be secure in your person's papers and effects. That means your cell phone. That means your laptop. That means the little black book that you keep all of your secrets in.
So when they search every car, you know, they stop every car going down the street. You know, that sounds not specific, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, they'll wind up making all of these excuses of, well, you know, it's a public safety something something, and it's an educational
or the
outreach.
Cell, the cell site simulators, which, you know, kind of tunnel everybody's traffic from the city into their little box.
Oh, and the big one, if you're not guilty, then you don't have anything to worry about, Daryl.
Right, but also there's the book that was written a good many years ago called Three Felonies a Day. It's probably up to like five or six by now.
Oh, yeah. One in three Americans has been arrested before age of 20.
Oh, yeah.
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 For something.
Yeah, there's...
For something
the
stupid, usually. Victimless
crime.
Yeah,
the statistics on, especially, what is it, probably black men are probably have the highest incarceration rate or something, but even white men are just...
All my buddies were arrested before 20.
Right. Men between the ages of 18 and 25 wind up getting arrested more than men of any other age demographic.
Yeah.
So let's just make it illegal to be a man between the ages of 18 and 25, and then problem solved, right?
Well, if you lock them all up on a farm somewhere, and they just do manual labor till 25, that would be the way to do it, actually. You get a lot of good work out of them, keep them out of the way, keep them away from women, and so this is where all this...
Ooh, you might have an economic issue, though. You know?
We're already having an issue where they're not making babies anymore.
Well,
When I say they, I mean we. What?
Who's that an issue for?
For libertarians especially, but no, everybody. Third world countries are doing just fine.
Oh, yeah, he's talking about like Western countries mostly.
When you said economic dilemma, I thought you meant we're not making babies.
Economic dilemma.
Okay, yeah, we're not making babies anymore. So that's a big problem.
I'm not sure if that winds up costing people money.
Babies cost money. Babies aren't free.
But who's going to pay Social Security for all these old people who are retiring, Daryl? We need more babies. Keep the Ponzi scheme going.
Okay. Oh, okay. I see where he's going with that. So yeah.
Okay. See, I thought you were going into the sort of realm to where, and maybe you've seen the study, maybe you haven't, but there was a study done not too long ago that some people are just very adamant that everybody should have children, and like they just wind up, you know, getting almost fighting mad when they find out somebody doesn't have children.
I haven't heard that study. People are crazy about people not having kids?
Oh, they've got very strong opinions about people that don't want to have children. I'll try to pull it up. Let's finish this article real quick.
We thus conclude, under ordinary circumstances, the use of a cell site simulator to locate a person through his or her cell phone evades the person's actual legitimate and reasonable expectation of privacy in his or her location information and in a search. The court ruling said, the government's argument to the contrary is unpersuasive. A December 2016 report from the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee found the U.S. taxpayer spent $95 million
there it is.
On 434 cell site simulator devices between 2010 and 2014, with the price tag for a single device hovering around $500,000. That's $500,000.
Well, pretty soon we're talking about real money. And what is that? $95 million spent, again, just between 2010 and 2014.
4 years. Just 4 years.
Well, technically that would be five because 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
But still, how much has been spent since then? Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We'll get back into this cell site simulator story. Still a little bit more out of that D.C. Court of Appeals. But first, I want to let you know about a way that you can mine Bitcoin without the expensive cost of having to upgrade equipment, buy equipment, maintain equipment, pay a high electric bill. You can make Bitcoin every day at pool.bitcoin.com. They run the machines for you. Somewhere else, you just invest money, and there's a 100% uptime guarantee. The website is easy to use, and you can even calculate what you might expect to wind up getting in return for your investment right there on the website, pool.bitcoin.com. Not just that, but you can also help steer Bitcoin towards the liberating currency that Satoshi Nakamoto meant it to be. You're not just making money at pool.bitcoin.com, you're doing activism while you sleep. pool.bitcoin.com.
While law enforcement agencies should be able to utilize technology as a tool to help officers be safe and accomplish their missions, absent proper oversight and safeguards, the domestic use of cell site simulators may well infringe upon the constitutional rights of citizens to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, as well as the right to free association, the report said. Under former Attorney General Eric Holder, under some pressure from Congress, the Department of Justice in 2015 issued a policy that federal authorities could only use cell site simulators with a warrant. But that policy was never inked into law, and police policies can change. Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
He's an absolutely horrible, horrible little man.
Yeah, little elf man, little gremlin man.
Tough on crime stance has worried some privacy advocates as to how he might use tools like cell site simulators. And that's because this is policy, not law. So they can change it basically on.
Were they pressured to instigate this, to issue this policy, because Congress wanted it, or where am I going with this?
Well, I don't know if the policy's actually changed.
So under some pressure from Congress, the Department of Justice in 2015 issued a policy that federal authorities could only use cell site simulators with a warrant.
Oh yeah. So it was pressure from
Congress. But again, that doesn't necessarily explain what kind of pressure. Was it pressure of, hey guys, if you don't institute a policy, we'll pass a law of some sort.
Yeah. Well, it was highly unpopular, is what it was what happened from what I recall.
Right. But just because it's unpopular, among the masses doesn't mean it was unpopular in Congress, because when the banker bailout happened...
But it was unpopular in Congress too, wasn't it?
I don't know. The article says pressure
was.
From
yeah,
Congress
does it
caused
what?
The DOJ to implement a policy.
So, not in this article, but this is a while ago now, but I believe it was unpopular in Congress as well, so...
Right, but, you know, maybe it was really popular with the Speaker of the House and the... President pro tem of the Senate, and they're like, we want to do this, and those two people wound up pressuring the DOJ of, hey, if you don't do something, then we're going to force this in on some kind of bill that we know is going to wind up know that the National Defense Authorization Act is going to wind up passing,
mm-hmm.
because nobody wants to not fund the military, so
no,
we'll just throw it in there.
and by the way, we're talking about how much this cost and how many of them there are 95 million, and there are 434 that were used between 2010 and 2014.
Between 2010 and 2014.
And that's just the Department of Justice. That's just what we know about. So what about FBI? What about CIA? What about these other outlets that
they're unaccountable? Well, the CIA is not allowed to spy on Americans in the United States.
They would never do that. They're only spying on other countries, right? And, you know, pulling down and creating their own dictators.
This reminds me of the NSA and how they basically spied on people in the United States, and then they tipped off, I don't know if it was FBI or who exactly, but it was basically police in the United States. It's like, wait a minute. So you can tip them off, but you, yeah, okay. How is that?
I think this is just typical setting us up for what is going to come in the next decade. Of we're going to find out what they're really doing, and this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I think it's already happening.
That's what I mean. This is just the tip of the iceberg, just to test the waters, just to see how the public will react.
I mean, don't we already know it's stuff? I mean, we already know this stuff is happening.
We know it. The general public doesn't know it.
All over the news.
But even when
everyone's Facebook account. So they just put all their whole lives out there. They don't
even
really care.
When the Snowden leaks were front and center in the news, you know, you go ask random people on the street, they'd be like, who's an Edward Snowman? What's an NSA? Oh, that's when you hook up with somebody, right? NSA, no strings attached. That's the Craigslist section.
It's the same one-third of the population who don't know who we won our independence from 250 years ago.
India.
Really?
India? Was it India?
The Civil War.
Was it China?
Right?
It was one of those countries, one of those big countries over there.
Are there really people here who don't know that?
Yes.
Not in this studio, but there are people in the United States that don't know. I watched a video, and we will get to the phones here in just a second, but I watched a video where they had Americans take the immigration test sitting next to an immigrant.
Uh-huh.
And the immigrant was schooling the Americans on all of the things that they wound up getting incorrect.
Yeah, makes sense.
I understand certain...
We need more walls to fix that problem, Daryl. We won't have to be looked stupid if we had more walls.
I completely understand not remembering everything throughout your school days, but this is not the kind of stuff that I would expect you to forget. It's just the very basic
I don't think they ever learned it. I don't think they ever learned it in the first place.
How many members of the U.S. House of Representatives? Okay. How many stripes on the American flag? What do those stripes represent? How many stars? Okay. How many states are there in the country?
Even some of that I could understand if you forgot, but who we get independence from? I mean, that's the title of a whole chapter of fifth grade education, stuff.
I think American Revolution is the title of the chapter, not we defeated the Brits. Let's go to the phones, 855-450-3.
Dare we wipe the floor with
them. I wasn't there.
It's almost you have to fail that whole subject, though, that whole quarter or whatever that they teach that.
855-450-free, and I'm sure you've heard of that TV show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, where most of the people wound up failing. Mark, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, guys. I just ran across a story on Zero Hedge where there are some homeowners in Florida who, about 6 hours after the hurricane hit, there was a code enforcement.
I saw that on Reason, and I'm glad you mentioned this because, this just shows the overzealous nature of the code enforcers down there. I think it was Miami, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, it was.
Miami got hit with a hurricane.
No, I know that.
And the code enforcer, before the water even went back into the ocean, was walking around citing residents for building code violations on their properties where their houses had collapsed.
Yeah. And so now they're being cited, and the code enforcers will be back in a week to make sure that all the code enforcement has been or all the codes are back up to code.
The story here again from Reason, Kelso Perez was helping his neighbor remove some fallen trees blocking their street when code enforcement rolled up and issued him a safety notice for having a downed fence. Perez told local media, "I laughed. I thought he was joking. You're kidding, right? We just had a hurricane 6 hours ago."
It was not a joke. It was a notice or just a was it an actual citation?
The official told Perez that the downed fence, which enclosed a pool, was a safety hazard, and that if it was not fixed by the time he returned, he would be hit with a fine. We're giving you an official warning, Mr. Perez. You're on double secret probation, and if this isn't fixed when I come back, and I'm not telling you when I'm coming back, but it better be fixed when I come back, otherwise you owe us money. WSVN says the county handed out 680 safety notices for downed pool barriers, another 177 electrical hazard safety notices, and Reason reached out to confirm, but they were unable to wind up contacting anybody in the county.
Well, that's just for your safety, Daryl. We don't want you tripping over a limb and falling into a puddle and breaking your neck.
I'm surprised they didn't wind up citing people while the hurricane was happening. Mark, thank you for the call, and thanks for actually reminding me about this. A little bit more on this, plus your calls and thoughts. Welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. Kicking off hour number two in studio tonight. It's Daryl,
Chris,
and Conan.
And you can join us with your thoughts, 855-450-FREE. And we had a caller towards the end of the last hour call in to remind us about the story out of Miami, where covered it very briefly. What happened, as you probably are aware, Miami and most of southern Florida wound up getting hit pretty bad with a hurricane a little over, what, a week ago, I think it was? But the code enforcers, they didn't wait very long at all before going around issuing violation, or actually issuing warnings, with the caveat of this better be cleaned up before we come back, or then you get a ticket. Kelso Perez, and again, this from Reason.com, Kelso Perez was helping his neighbor remove fallen trees blocking their street when a county code enforcer rolled up and issued him a safety notice because his fence had fallen over. Perez told local media, "I laughed. I thought he was kidding." "You're kidding, right? We just had a hurricane 6 hours ago." Perez says it wasn't a joke. The official told him that the downed fence, which it was previously there to enclose a pool, was a safety hazard, and that if it wasn't fixed by the time the code enforcer removed or returned, Perez would be hit with a fine. The official then hung the safety violation or citation on a portion of his fence that remained standing, leaving him and his neighbors to finish clearing the debris from the street.
You know, if these guys were just going out and actually looking for, you know, certified dangers like down power lines, you know,
fallen fences around pools, houses laying in the street.
Telephone poles laying right in the middle of the street. I can understand, but, you know, a down fence when there's so much more. And just look at the wreckage. I mean, there's so much more to be concerned with. And are these people, do they think these people are actually just going to leave it like that?
He's got to be creating more of a safety issue by doing this and not, like, annoying people and punching people, you know, creating.
And as far as the down power lines is concerned, the electric company is already out there trying to figure out why they're your current isn't running,
right?
So they're going to find those quicker than quick. You really don't need these guys.
And continuing here, according to WSVN, the county handed out 680 safety notices for downed pool barriers and another 177 electrical hazard safety notices. Reason attempted to contact county officials to confirm, but they were unable to do so.
Wait. What is a downed pool barrier? Is this out of the ground pools? I mean,
fence around the pool of some sort.
So a lot of
could be above
require
ground, could be below ground. Doesn't matter. You're supposed to have a fence, and it fell over. Here's your citation.
A lot of places require fences around pools. So.
Your fence fell over because of that hurricane. Because your house also fell over. Here's your citation.
Like if the kid's going to drown, like the kid could drown, but I mean, that post, that sharp post sticking out of the ground is not as dangerous as the, you know, drowning in the pool.
From what can be gleaned from the WSVN story and from county code enforcement procedures, these safety notices appear to just be warnings, meaning that no fines were actually handed out
yet.
Reason tried to confirm this with the county as well, but again, were unable to do so. They continue still, these warnings carry with them a duty to correct the violation within a specific window of time. That might not even be possible for some residents, given how many businesses are still out of operation. So your fence is down. You need to fix this within the next 7 days. You go to Home Depot. They're out of lumber because everybody's bought all of the lumber trying to fix stuff.
They're out of lumber. You don't have electricity to run your power saw. You can't do anything except what?
No. And you can't hire the day workers at Home Depot because there's no lumber for them to actually come over to your house and saw by hand.
They've all been picked up. They're all steadily at work putting shingles back on.
Perez said of the day he got the ticket, quote, all the stores were closed. It's not like I could just go to Home Depot and find a temporary barrier. Even if he could, it's quite possible that Perez and the others that were handed citations might have more pressing things to do right after a hurricane than bring their homes back up to code. You know, things like clearing the street, seeking medical attention, checking on family members, trying to find food. You think the county would have higher priorities as well, like getting the lights back on for Miami-Dade's 16,510 homes and businesses that, as of this article being written 2 days ago or 3 days ago, still were without power.
You know,
county officials, however, don't see it that way. Quote, it's very important that we reach residents in the immediate aftermath of the storm. Because this is when conditions are the most dangerous, and taking steps to protect life is a critical part of the recovery process.
Wow.
If this code, if these code enforcers are anything like our code enforcer, the guy who retired last year here in Keene, who was had so much time on his hands that he was going around giving traffic citations and parking tickets for like a month on end before someone started calling him out. And I think that's when he stopped doing it. These guys just have too much time on their hands. That's plain and simple.
Of course they have too much time on their hands. They're government bureaucrats.
There's too many of them. Too many of them. Too much time.
It's as if people won't fix their own fences, like, and property without these people.
And this is how they prove their existence is, oh, look, you know, now we actually have a job to do. And now we're actually going to go save lives and save kids from, you know, drowning in the pool. Hooray. And they're going to sleep better tonight for doing so.
And Reason has an update posted here at the end of the article saying after initial publication, Reason received comment from Miami-Dade County with the following explanation. We were looking to advise residents of the following hazards on their property that they may not have been aware of, but that still pose a life safety risk. Here are the things. Damaged structures that render them unsafe. Unsecured pools with no barrier. Electrical hazards, such as downed power lines or damaged meters. And gas hazards, such as damaged meters. If any of these hazards were found, our inspectors gave out a safety notice, which is neither a notice of violation warning nor a citation. It means there's no fine attached. The safety notice gives the property owners identified the hazard, steps that should be taken to correct the hazard, and whom to contact for additional information.
When the phone lines were down.
Yeah, so contact people while the phone lines are down and nobody has power because... No, we're giving you this citation. It's not an official warning. It's not an official citation. We're just telling you, you need to fix this. And if it's not fixed the next time I come back, and I'm not telling you when I'm returning, but if it's not fixed when I return, then you get a citation. But we weren't threatening people with monetary penalties. We were just informing them that their house had fallen over. Holy crap. Lunacy here.
The only one of the things in there that were mentioned that seemed reasonable to me, possibly, were...
Gas hazard?
The gas one. Mm-hmm. That's the only one in there that... And
right,
I can kind of see that
you're
one.
You're concerned about,
the stupid
my
people, basically.
House is no longer standing. I wonder if there's a gas leak.
You know, you said stupid people, and the problem with this is this type of regulating actually creates stupid people. Who become dependent on watchmen to watch over their lives and to make sure that there's no gas leaking. Like, you don't know that there's gas leaking? Come on, man. It smells like farts.
That's true. It is scented, isn't it?
You don't know that the power line is down in your backyard? There's a wire and there's sparks jumping off of it.
After a hurricane, when the sewage treatment plant winds up spreading all over the city, everything smells
all right,
like
so you
fart.
You might actually be smelling farts. All right, I get you. But I mean,
if you live in New Orleans, well, that's just how the city smells.
This is just typical government taking care of us and creating dumb people who
right.
who cannot
taking
take care of them.
Care
exactly.
Air quotes.
Who do you
there.
Who do you take care of? Kids and elderly senile folk. And that's but when you're taking care of full grown individuals, now you've created a problem.
Absolutely.
You've created dependency. Don't feed the bears. You create dependent bears.
But the bears are the ones running around with the citation pad here telling people, hey, your house fell over.
Yep.
This is Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts. Welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That's how you can join us and bring up whatever is on your mind. The us in studio tonight is Daryl,
Chris,
and Conan.
Got a question for you two gentlemen. Are you eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables
no.
every day?
I'm eating some dried fruit melody right here. Does that count?
Is it 5 servings?
What? Well, what is a serving?
Well, I'm not the one that determines that. There's calculations and what's it say on your little package. But chances are you're not eating 5 right there. Only about 10% of people actually are eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. And here's some more bad news if you're, you know, one of the 90% here. There's a preponderance of evidence that shows that you really need 10 servings a day. That's nearly a gallon of fruits and vegetables in their raw form, and only about 1% of the population
a
does
gallon?
That. 1 gallon.
Come on.
1 gallon. That's 10
all right,
servings.
All right.
10 servings is 1 gallon of raw fruits and vegetables. So if you're not eating that, you're part of the 99%.
I don't know if
Daryl, I don't eat a gallon of food a day.
What's the prize
yeah.
for accomplishing this feat of getting those 10 servings every day?
Diarrhea.
Well, you get protection yeah. against obesity, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and cancer, plus enough antioxidants to neutralize all 5 of the known free radicals. And I've been getting my 10 servings of fruits and vegetables every day for this entire week so far. I had been doing 5 servings, and Conan, you know that I don't like vegetables. If it's green, I don't like it. But I'm cheating, and you can too, by getting fruit and veggie total. I put it in my smoothies, and again, 2 scoops of fruit and veggie total, 10 servings of fruits and vegetables. And it's really easy, and it is made by the same people that make Whole Food Multi Complete. So join me in this worthy goal of eating better, losing weight, living longer, and feeling better. Go to simplifymysupplements.com, get yourself some fruit and veggie total, and use coupon code FTL to save 10%. And they'll give you a free shaker bottle. Simplifymysupplements.com, code FTL.
What's that green stuff called? Veggie total?
Fruit and veggie total. No, the green stuff that I've been putting.
Yeah.
The green stuff I add is spirulina. Fruit and veggie total is red.
Whenever you're adding your spirulina, make sure that you don't accidentally grab the Soylent Green jar next to it, because that's not veggie. That's something completely different.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I saw someone in a cupboard the last time I was over here. Did someone get rid of it?
I don't know what you're talking about a green jar of Soylent.
Soylent Green is not spirulina.
All right, Soylent Green is people. I don't buy that. Conan, you're an idiot. Let's go to the phones. We've got Loring calling in from Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey there, guys. Something kind of big, I think, in the Liberty community happened yesterday. Roger Ver announced that he's raised over $100 million to buy some sovereign territory from an existing country. What do you guys think about that?
What? Yeah, I saw something. There's, what is it, freesociety.org, I think is the website.
.com.
Yeah, where the claim is we're just going to buy sovereignty from some existing government, but I don't think they actually said where this is going to be.
Yeah, so they don't know exactly which country. They're talking to several countries, and they're not announcing which countries they're talking to, but they do say they've got a lot of interest, but they're considering countries that might have a little bit of national debt that could use some money. Countries that have, you know, some water access or and are close to economic powerhouses. So it sounds kind of like they want to build sort of a liberty community that could turn into something that's, you know, economically nice.
I think it's interesting. I'm going to, at this point, remain
skeptical.
Just because I've seen other things, you know, definitely not, to this scale financially, but there have been other things like that economic development zone down in Honduras, I think it was. There was supposed to have been something down in Chile. And, you know, there are a bunch, every couple of years, there's some kind of plan. And then it never really turns out. So I'm just going to remain skeptical at this point. But what are your thoughts?
I totally understand that. But, you know, it seems to change everything when you get money involved. And, you know, I mean, if you're dealing directly with a country and you're not sort of moving in, trying to create some economic zone, you know, without officially taking over that area.
The economic zone thing in Honduras was something created by the Honduran Congress. But then after they caught wind of what was being planned, the Honduran Supreme Court, I believe, wound up coming up with a ruling saying, yeah, what you think it is isn't actually what we think it is. And I think that, you know, on this sort of scale, if somebody's offering to just throw like $100 million to some central government somewhere to leave us alone, that central government might wind up, oh, yeah, we'll leave you alone until we need more money.
Yeah, this year.
Until we need more money. And then, well, you've already paid us off once. Pay us off again.
Well, there's an easy workaround to that. You know, the thing in Honduras, you know, that's politicians disagreeing over stuff. And we know that never really goes anywhere. And there really wasn't a financial incentive for them at the time. But as far as like a country selling you some land and then waiting a few years and then coming and, you know, kicking you all out, you know, the workaround for that is really you just pay them a good chunk of money as a down payment, and then you stretch the remainder of the payment over, you know, 99 years or something to that effect, and that keeps them from immediately coming in.
They come in on your grandchildren.
Wait, but you know what? Isn't that what we're already doing? You know, paying the big man a little bit of down payment every year to leave us alone? So we can do our thing.
But they're not leaving you alone, Conan. They're still coming over, and oh, you've got to have your papers. You've got to have this. Oh, the hurricane just hit. You need to fix the fence.
But wouldn't you trade that? I mean, if you could pay a little bit for some amount of time, and then after that be left alone, that sort of like tax quote unquote would expire. I mean, wouldn't you trade that?
It depends on what type of where we're going. I mean, as far as I can see, you know, all the best choice pieces of land, real estate, have already been picked up. So, I mean, what's left? Some deserted island where there's no running water?
No, the claim here is they'll just, you know, buy part of a country.
Yeah, don't people already live
Monaco.
There?
Well, that's here, sort of
here's $100 million, and we just want these five square blocks. You leave us alone now.
Yeah, that's sort of the biggest hurdle that I see is, you know, you have to deal with indigenous people. And, you know, there are a lot of pretty nice pieces of land around. I mean, there's a lot of land uninhabited in Australia that's pretty nice. And it's got a good climate and so on and so forth. It's not all desert, you know. I've seen a few places around the world that I've sort of picked out thinking of this in the past that, you know, there are some pretty good places to go, you know. I don't know, though.
So here's the other thing, jobs, right? Like, I mean, we're going to need jobs. We're going to need infrastructure. How are you going to solve those problems? It's trying to get enough people.
Well, libertarians are all doing IT work, so they can just work remotely.
Yeah, okay.
Loring, thank you.
I think it's an easy problem to solve, and I don't know the exact solution, but we'll figure it out, right?
Thank you for the call. And yeah, it's something that I'm looking at, but I'm going to fall into the skeptical category at this moment.
Same
Your
here.
Calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
Dash is digital cash, a digital currency designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. Pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is the first digital money that's governed by its users. Join Dash and help us build a better financial system for everyone. Find out more at dash.org. That's dash.org. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Daryl.
Chris.
And Conan.
And if you think that Facebook is a giant time suck, but you still want to interact with people online, consider joining the Shire forums, and you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners. Go to forum.shiresociety.com or forum.freetalklive.com will take you to the Shire forum on the Free Talk Live sub-forum of the Shire forum. Forum.freetalklive.com. Chris, you're on the forums, correct?
I am.
As am I. Conan, not sure if you're on there. You might have an account, but I don't know how much you interact on the forums. But again, forum.freetalklive.com. So caller called in to ask our questions about this Free Society project where Roger Ver from Bitcoin.com and several other individuals have come together with the idea to purchase sovereignty. Which sounds good, right? We're just going to wind up throwing money at a government and they'll leave us alone. And we were discussing some of this. I'm in the skeptical category. I'm not going to say it'll never work. I'm just saying I'm skeptical. Not a lot of information as far as where, because they've not chosen a where yet. But it does say that there are preliminary talks with several governments that have interest and, quote, much higher than initially expected. Then there's the question of what are the selection criteria? So we've been sort of speculating of where could this be? Conan, you threw out the idea of just buy Detroit.
Yeah, buy the whole thing.
Well, the selection criteria, proximity to existing economic powerhouses, U.S., Europe, and Asia. So check mark there because Detroit... inside the United States.
And it's a border town. It's right there in the border of Canada. So you can deal with them, too.
Stable existing government. Would you say that the existing government in Detroit is stable?
No.
Accessibility to water. Definitely got a check mark there. Located in a safe, conflict-free area. A nation with significant national debt. The United States has significant national debt. $20 trillion? $100 million isn't going to pay off like one day's worth of interest on the United States national debt. Next criteria, a flexible constitution that allows granting of sovereignty. Well, Detroit's off the list because the U.S. federal constitution doesn't, it's not flexible to allow for sovereignty. And then the final criteria is acceptable minimum size for the land, but they don't say how large they're looking for. So, you know, like how many people are you hoping to move to this country? They don't say that either. So if you want something with, you know, less than 1,000 people, try buying Monaco. You want something for millions of people, you're going to need something much larger.
Considering the Free State Project, I would start low.
Less
than 5,000.
There are some islands, the Canary Islands, close to Europe. Definitely accessible to water because, you know, islands, Canary Islands, not in a conflict area. However, Canary Islands are part of Spain, which... well, we know right now that the Spanish national government, they don't want to allow Catalonia to secede. So, you know, and also they don't necessarily mention full sovereignty. So semi-autonomous to where Macau and Hong Kong are semi-autonomous under the Chinese central government. So, you know, what level of sovereignty are they necessarily looking at? That is not entirely clear. So
definitely I have some interest here, but I'm skeptical.
Yeah, definitely interested to hear where do they get the money from? That's the other thing I'm curious about.
I don't know, and it doesn't say
it
in the FAQ.
It was raised. That's all
it was raised.
It was raised.
I think that the reason I suggested something here in the States on the border of our country is because, well, there's an awful lot of U.S. citizens who are, you know, thinking of other options. Detroit is in collapse. It just needs the right people to get in there and fix it up. And, you know, maybe not gain sovereignty right off the bat, but if you could situate them all in one area, whenever the feds are dealing with the next great dilemma, which is coming down the pike, whenever they're dealing with that, that's when you sneak off in the darkness while the feds are dealing with some other issue.
Conan, it sounds like you want to join Project Free Detroit.
I'm looking at the prices on Zillow right now. These are amazing.
You can find at projectfreedetroit.com, where it's basically a group of people that want to sort of take over Detroit and have it be
a free city sort of thing. Are they commies?
I don't think so.
I don't like dealing with that. I don't want to live in a commune.
I think what we have to think about is what's the most effective. I mean, so depending on how it was raised, what's the most effective use of $100 million?
That's what I'm saying. The infrastructure is already there. All you have to do is just kind of patch it up, and put people in there who are going to actually work on rebuilding.
But you also need jobs. Like, that's the other problem. I mean,
well, and that's the problem with a lot of libertarians I have all these software engineers and
so just work remotely. Where's the problem? Everybody works remotely, and nobody creates anything.
As long as you have internet wherever you go.
One of the things I think that needs to be considered in any kind of project is whether or not it's actually feasible to bring people to that, you know, area. One of the things that the Free State Project has going for it, I think, is the fact that there are jobs here, and it's not one particular place, but a region, and that region is a fairly small area.
New Hampshire is for the population. One particular place, but it's a large place.
Right, exactly.
It's not like, you know, some of the other move here projects of, let's all move to this one particular city.
Right, and that's the thing. If everybody's moving to one particular place, and there's not, and that place has, you know, good jobs for, I don't know, technical people, that's not necessarily going to be good for other people that would like to move there, because there's not other types of jobs. And when you have a situation like New Hampshire, there's a variety of jobs. There's cities, there's towns, there's villages. There's a little bit of everything or anything, you know, you might want. It may not be the most ideal for everybody, but at least it has a lot of different
options
to get people to come.
And
without people, what good is a territory?
I think what we're doing here in New Hampshire is the best option.
Let's go to
this Detroit,
the full,
this free Detroit thing. One. I think it's awesome. I think I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I think the Free State Project is step number one. I don't necessarily think step number two couldn't be, you know, something else like this $100 million idea, but I think it's probably gonna take more, and it's gonna take more time.
But you know what we need a freesociety.com to send their $100 million to us, and we'll
be better.
We'll make it work.
To the phones. We've got Starchild calling in from San Francisco. Starchild, you're on Free Talk Live with Daryl, Chris, and Conan. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you doing, you guys?
Doing well.
I was just calling about the topic you're currently discussing, the new country effort. This is the first I've heard of this particular one.
Yeah, it launched yesterday. It launched yesterday, which is why a lot of people have heard about it.
Right. For those of you that don't know me, by the way, I know Daryl. I'm a member of the Libertarian National Committee, and I fully support and endorse the Free State Project. Perhaps we'll be there someday, not right now, but I do think that, you know, we need more different options. I don't think having more free countries or jurisdictions would be a bad thing at all. I think that demand for freedom is virtually unlimited, and there's other people that can't even come to the United States who might want to be part of the Free State Project, and this would be a potential option for them if they were
certainly able to get hold your thought, Starchild. We'll be right back. Your calls and thoughts welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. What are your thoughts on just buying sovereignty? This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Daryl.
Chris.
And Conan.
And we're talking about the Free Society Project because somebody called in to ask what we thought about it. And, well, we have some thoughts, and so do you. You can share those, 855-450-FREE. But one of the questions that came up was, well, what about the economy? Well, what about jobs? Well, what if there was a place where you didn't actually need money to do business? Well, Simbi.com is that place. It's a slick, easy-to-use marketplace where you trade your talents for other people's services and abilities. Forget the old economy. This is your economy. And you won't believe the diversity of services on Simbi.com. Thousands of people are acting within the symbiotic economy. So go get an account at Simbi.com. That's S-I-M-B-I.com. Take a look around. Post your services, Simbi.com. Let's go back to the phones, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Starchild calling in from San Francisco. You were in the middle of making a point that I don't remember what it was, so continue with your thought, please.
Options. Options are good.
Yes. Options are good.
Right. And given that approximately 95% of the world's population lives outside the United States, and immigration to the United States for most of those people can be difficult or impossible, there's no necessarily even competition with the Free State Project for most of the potential migrants to a new free country located elsewhere. I wanted to cite a few things that I think would be very important, and I don't know if this effort has them or is planning on them or not. One is, I think any kind of purchase like this, the concerns you were mentioning before you took my call, I think were very relevant, that governments are likely to renege on this kind of thing unless it's set up in such a manner as to not make it in their interest to do so. So I think getting recognition, sovereign recognition from the government as part of the deal is key, and having a series of ongoing payments so the whole thing isn't paid up front. But, ongoing payments continue as long as the recognition is respected and as long as, there's no other form of interference. And I would suggest even bonus payments for recognition by additional countries. Give the country selling the territory, the government there, some reason to want other countries to recognize this new country and to lobby for its inclusion in the United Nations and all that kind of thing. Because until you get that kind of international recognition, you're potentially subject to invasion and all kinds of other negative treatment at the hands of the established club of governments that they're trying to keep others out of.
Now, Starchild, I want to play devil's advocate here real quick and say, even with membership in the United Nations and international recognition, there are some countries that still wind up getting invaded by the United States military.
Oh, that's certainly true. So this would be part of a multi-pronged approach. I mean, I think another thing that any new country project should really think about seriously is how are they going to defend themselves? Of course, a big part of that is allowing, the right to keep and bear arms by civilians, not limited to, hunting rifles and that kind of thing, but, full military armaments, make a country very difficult and expensive and hard to take over for some hostile power.
Could I have my own bearcat in this new country, in theory?
If it was up to me, yes.
The Bearcat being a ballistic engineered armored response counterattack truck for anybody that thought right, I was like talking about some little furry animal.
I think after you fill that thing up at a gas station one time, you're probably not going to want to drive it around ever again.
Who said I'd be driving it anywhere?
You're just going to park it in front of your house?
I'd park it as the house.
Okay. Yeah, that is something Daryl would
call.
Do.
Not a Bearcat.
A couple of the things, I'm dubious about this project because when they don't mention where they got $100 million, I'm guessing it was from a small number of investors. And typically when people are contributing that kind of money, they're going to want a return on their investment and they're going to want to control the thing from the top down. And I think that's where some of these previous efforts have gone wrong, is they were as much about money-making schemes as they were about freedom. And that kind of an effort is not as likely to generate the kind of international sympathy and goodwill, for a new state, which is also crucial if people are going to, get on board with it and allow it to thrive, I think they should crowdfund the money from a large number of small donors who are basically just in it for wanting, freedom. And have open immigration. Anybody can come, so you're not looking like you're just favoring the wealthy. Have a libertarian constitution, perhaps something like the LP platform, lp.org/platform, but something that guarantees a lot of basic economic and political freedoms. If you don't have that whole package, I think it's going to be very hard to make something like this sustainable.
Now, let me ask your thoughts about a outside-the-box new country that's not necessarily on this planet, but just in space. What are your thoughts on space setting up something like Asgardia?
I'm all for it. I mean, obviously there's even greater technological hurdles there than seasteading, which is sort of the main new country thing that's being talked about currently. And I think one existing criteria also for an existing thing, one of you guys mentioned being near water. I think having, even if it's small territory, if you have ocean frontage, you could potentially build out into that as the technology becomes more achievable. And space, obviously, I think long-term is the future. I mean, there's unlimited space out there. Once that kind of gets technologically opened up, it's going to be very hard for existing governments to control where people go and how they set up out there, I think.
Uh-oh.
Sounds like we lost Starchild. Starchild, thank
you. I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right. Yep. We've got you back now.
Okay. I was just saying, I don't know what the last thing is you heard, but it's going to be very hard for governments to keep people from setting up things in space once the technology becomes a little bit better and more widely available and cheaper to get vehicles up there and so forth. But for existing countries on Earth, which I think is more practical at present for a mass movement kind of thing, which I think this is really what it needs to be, not just a small commercial kind of enterprise, but something to really capture people's imaginations. If we want a free country, and it's going to be open to everybody. It should be a place with ocean frontage so that as seasteading technology becomes more viable, the country can build out into that space. You don't necessarily need to have a lot of land.
Yep,
because it probably is going to be expensive to buy any significant amount of land from an existing government. They tend to hang on to their territory very jealously because they're all about wanting control and to have monopolies on money and power over people.
Yep, certainly. Starchild, thank you for the call. And yeah, this is something I'm definitely going to keep an eye on. But again, color me skeptical.
If I want to see, someone do seasteading first. That seems more reasonable to me than this project.
You don't want to just try buying one of the islands off the coast of Great Britain?
If it already has people living there, maybe. But if it's just rock, no. I know how the people who are grasping for freedom the most, I believe, are very romantic. They have very romantic ideas on what they can get away with, and when they actually go and try to live off the grid, it's like they're there for a month and like, hey, this is crap.
You don't want to buy the Iron Islands from the Greyjoys and try living
exactly
with the Kraken. Let's go to Skype. We've got Ricky calling in from Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
That would be the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania there, Brother Darryl.
Go ahead with your thoughts, Ricky.
Well, I'll tell you what. I heard the last caller, and I totally agree. Here's what I like. I like the idea of blowing the Constitution of the United States of America away and seceding for free. I mean, that's where my head's at.
I completely agree with the more secession, the better, and I think everybody should be able to secede from everybody's secession. What are your thoughts on the upcoming vote in Catalonia where the Catalonians want to secede from Spain?
Well, from what I understand about all this, this is really not going right with that, This secession seems to be for all the wrong reasons to me.
Well, whether you agree with their reasons or not, do you agree that they have the right to secede?
Well, I would say so.
All right. Thank you for the call, Ricky. Your calls and thoughts welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Free societies, can you just purchase sovereignty? And if you purchase sovereignty and I move to your sovereign area, can I then secede from your new sovereignty? Would that be allowed in this free society? Otherwise, is it really a free society? 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio tonight, it's Daryl,
Chris,
and Conan.
And we've been talking about free societies and secession, and whether or not I can secede from your free society that seceded from somebody else's not-so-free society.
And how big of a group
guess?
Do you need to succeed?
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? So you join this free society,
and then
you buy a piece of land, you all move out there, all thousand of you or whatever, and you put a flag in the ground and say, this is my spot, and I want to secede from the rest
what
of
if
you.
Everybody
right
was,
now, first
what if,
day.
What if everybody's property was, like, everybody had their own property, and it was their king of the, castle concept?
Right. The 7 billion state solution to where every human on the planet is their own autonomous nation.
That would be neat.
That would be rough. That would be a rough couple of years trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B. So you got to go through 20 different properties to get to the
flying cars.
All right. Well,
where's the property line beginning?
Right.
End,
so
or where's the country
who
line
owns
beginning?
The air. Because there are some people that they wind up saying that when the International Space Station floats over their house and they can see it using the track the ISS app on their smartphone, like, that flew over my house, so U.S. government, you now owe me money because you violated my airspace because airspace continues indefinitely.
If you can't physically claim that property, you can't be there claiming it, then you can't have it. So if you can't put a fence around it,
Irma knocked over one side of the fence when you were completing the other side of the fence, and then the code enforcer comes over and he's fined you, but you don't see the fine because you're building the fence 40 miles up into the sky.
Yeah, very difficult process. I'm going to say it can't be done, at least with today's technology. So no, you can't claim it. Sorry.
Your calls and thoughts welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Let's go to Skype, where we've got Stefan calling in from Ohio. Stefan, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
That would be the state of Ohio, brother Daryl. Anyway, first let me make a comment on secession. I do think you should have the right to secede, but I ultimately believe that communities will come together and there will be a group of people.
True that.
That divvy up property, together. Like Keene, for example, even without a federal body, I'm sure you guys and your community would be able to come together and be able to divvy up property on your own. Because I don't think individuals by themselves would be able to, decide who owns what property. There has to be some agreement, or else people will just go around with their armies and take people's property.
Right. And, there's also several thousand years of common law that, unfortunately, most people have kind of forgotten about in lieu of, state statute fill in the blank number colon this says blah, blah, blah. So therefore, I don't know how to function absent that. But let's use common sense a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if I would want that.
if my house
you
is
wouldn't
there.
Want common sense?
No, because have you tried talking with, like, oh, I don't know, probably 90% of the population?
Well, I've never talked to that many people, but I have talked to, you know, quote unquote regular people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think these regular people,
they lack common sense.
No,
that's the problem.
They do, but they've become dependent on these laws taking care of them.
Thinking how would they've never, you know, like, tried using the thing inside their brain,
right? Which is
so that's like the big argument: who would build the roads?
So if
they don't, the same people who are building the roads right now.
Well, hold on.
It's just the question is who pays for the roads.
Let me
the
give
same
an example.
People who pay for the roads now.
Let me give an example. Yeah. I don't spend, you know, a lot of time thinking about how computers work because it's not something that I necessarily do. It's something that you do for a living.
Right.
So if we were to talk about how computers work, then I would sound like, you know, a dum-dum. But once you start explaining things and then I kind of understand, then we can have something along the lines of a rational conversation.
Or
because you could, I don't need to know that, you know, this dongle connects to this widget and then something, something internet.
Well, you know, it goes back to the point of what you were saying, Daryl, is people don't know how to function without laws and statutes, even though they don't realize that there would still be a form of government. It's just that individual, you know, quote unquote, governments, communities wouldn't have a monopoly over force or who owned what.
Right. And
force,
you know,
other
to
people
some
into
extent,
what you want
to
do.
To some extent, based on a very strict interpretation of the word governance, this radio show is a government. And right now, I am de facto president of that government because I'm the one controlling all the buttons.
Yeah. Isn't that how the real president works?
But if I say
but
something,
he can't push that large red button with his tiny, tiny hand.
Mm. He's got somebody to do it for him.
If Daryl was president, there would be no red button.
I wouldn't want a red button.
I think he would just, no, he would paint everything red.
No.
All buttons red, all knobs, all
nope.
Steering wheels, all doorknobs
nope.
Red. Red, because that's all he sees.
Nope.
Angry man over here.
Continue with your thoughts, Stefan.
I was going to call in about clean energy. You know, there's definitely a hunger for it and a need for it now. A lot of people agree that the planet is warming in that we need clean energy to slow the effects of climate change in the environment.
All right, I'm going to sort of deconstruct part of this because I think it's partly built on a fallacy. So certainly, on the one hand, yes, the planet is getting warmer on the giant macro scale of at one time there was the Ice Age, and now we're not in an Ice Age, so definitely warmer. But the question, there's actually two questions of how much of the ending of that ice age and us not being in an ice age is due to humans. And then the second question is there anything that government should be doing about it?
It sounds like we need to be investing in clean energy, Daryl. That's what the government should be doing, right?
I don't think government should be doing it only because I believe the people could do it themselves. Others disagree with me, but I do believe that we definitely have an effect on the warming of the planet. I mean, carbon dioxide traps heat, and when you have a lot of that in the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's not just carbon dioxide,
but
though, right?
Carbon dioxide is also
methane
plant
too.
Food, so when there's more carbon dioxide, you need more trees, and when you have more trees, you actually wind up getting cooling. And how old are you, Stefan?
I am 19 years old.
So when I was a little bit younger than you, the fear was global climate change. When I was in middle school, the fear was global climate change. There were all
acid
of these
rain.
Stories about, you know, the planet in 20 years is going to be in another ice age. And then by the time I graduated high school, it was all of a sudden global warming, and now they've just changed it to climate change because they can't tell if it's getting hotter or colder.
And before that, it was the ozone layer is depleting. It's going away. It's going to burn a hole in the glaciers. It's going to, you know, flooding and whatnot.
Right.
You also forgot to mention overpopulation. That was huge right before.
That's still a problem.
There are still people that say overpopulation, so therefore build a fence on Mexico.
And then there's pollution. You know, you got the plastic islands floating around. You know, there's so many of these that we've been inundated with our whole lives, but we're still here. And you know what? Well, maybe because I'm in New Hampshire, but this is the cleanest I've ever seen it. I mean, good fresh air, good clean environment.
It's gotten better.
The roads are clean, but maybe it's just because I'm here in this, you know, pristine state.
New York City's gotten better. It used to smell. Oh my god!
But I remember like the old Native American commercial with the guy crying,
the single tear.
Yeah, standing in a trash heap.
Yeah,
I remember streets that looked like that. I don't see it anymore.
But right, and a lot of it I think is because of educational outreach, not necessarily government. Stefan, we'll hold you over. I think that you have something else you want to add here. But education goes a long way to where, you know, if you can convince people that making a lifestyle choice is in their best interest, they're going to wind up doing it. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can call in, bring up whatever is on your mind. In studio, it's Daryl,
Chris,
and Conan.
And we were just talking about Derek J's victimless crime spree because, well, it's a documentary about our friend Derek J, who over the course of roughly a year got arrested about half a dozen times, give or take. I forget if it was five or six, but you know, somewhere around half a dozen, was facing several years behind bars. And, well, those arrests were caught on tape. Full-length documentary was made about that, Derek J's victimless crime spree. You can watch that online for free at victimlesscrimespree.com, or maybe you want to get your hands on one of the limited edition DVDs that has several hours of bonus content.
These are the director's cuts.
With director's cut. Yeah, so that's part of the several hours of bonus content that you are not going to find online for free, as far as I'm aware. VictimlessCrimeSpree.com. And Conan, you're actually one of the people selling those DVDs.
I am selling the unautographed editions, while Ian is selling on what, on eBay?
I think he's selling on Purse, where you can go to saveatpurse.com, pay with Bitcoin. VictimlessCrimeSpree.com is the website for Derek J's victimless crime spree. Let's go back to Skype, where we've got Stefan calling in from the state of Ohio. Stefan, you're on Free Talk Live. Continue with your thoughts.
What I was about to say is, you guys had brought up the fact that, well, maybe some of the things that we were told to worry about, you know, eventually it was nothing.
Right.
And I personally do think that we can all agree the Earth is warming, and has continued to warm over the past 100 years at a higher rate than it had in the past.
I don't know that we can all agree on that.
In the recent past. I'm talking about
define recent past.
Within the last 1,000 years.
So last 100 years warmed greater than the last 1,000, possibly, but there was also that mini ice age in the Middle Ages where, you know, a lot of Europe was under a lot of snow. Right. So this is something to where, as they say, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. So we could argue this back and forth and everybody shows their own chart. But you wanted to make a point about clean energy.
Yes. And I think there's a lot more arguments than just the idea of preventing the further warming of the planet. One of the arguments that I like to bring up is it's all completely free, pretty much. You are 100% certain that the sun is going to shine tomorrow. You are not 100% certain that the mine is going to be filled with coal tomorrow.
Yep. Therefore, I'm going to side with a Frenchman named Frederick Bastiat and say that because of that. There's this free source of energy and free source of light. We should ban that and require everybody to put shutters on their windows. That way we can make sure that the candle makers don't lose their jobs.
Well, it's funny because in the state of Florida, they tried to pass a bill. I'm not sure whether it passed or not, that would tax people on the solar energy that they produced. And I think government eventually will try to get their hands on solar energy. You put solar panels on your house. In some instances, you can sell the excess electricity back to the government.
Well, in some places, it's required that you sell the excess energy back to whatever power company has the monopoly.
Well, we have a cap where you can't sell that extra energy back unless they were to increase that cap, that yearly cap. So, so there's a problem here in New Hampshire where there are more solar providers, more solar panels making energy, but the energy companies aren't purchasing that excess energy. So at nighttime, you're stuck because you're having to buy from the electric company, where you could have sold it to them during the day and then bought it back at night. But
the problem is government here. And the granting of monopoly status to some power company that, you know, probably 100 years ago was connected to some high-level politician.
Who doesn't want to compete with guys with solar panels on their roof.
They don't want you to have anything for free, and that's a point I bring up all the time to a lot of people. I think one of the main reasons government wants to keep the oil companies in power is most of us aren't going to be able to go into our backyards and strike oil. But every single one of us can capture the wind or the sun. I'm sure we'd agree on that point.
As long as
some more efficiently than others, but you know there is some level of sun and some level of wind.
It would probably be a challenge for me to do so. My property doesn't quite allow for it.
Yeah, solar isn't. It is getting so much better than it say it was even 10 years ago. But it's still really hard to.
I have very, very big trees all over my property.
Well, I mean, even if you didn't have any trees, I mean, it is downcast quite often here.
Yeah, it's true too.
And you're just not going to get, you know, efficient
solar collection
during those days.
That's why I said some places more efficiently than others.
Yeah, yep. So we are not Arizona for sure.
No.
Well, solar panels can pick up, they don't necessarily run off the sunlight, so to speak. They run off of the UV rays coming from the sun. So even on an overcast day, you know, if it's moderately bright outside, you're still going to get energy. That's why I've been somewhat of a critic of wind power, because, you know, you can't always predict whether or not the wind's going to blow.
You know what
you know you're going to get some solar energy every day.
You know what we do have, though, is water. We have lots and lots of water.
And I have never understood why there aren't underwater turbines that just use the existing current. I'm not talking about building new dams and having things go straight up. Just something that, you know, sort of lays flat and the water rolls over and it just sort of spins something.
Probably because it eats fishes. And you get the fish lovers coming out and they're like, we can't have these dams. No, exactly. That's exactly why they don't do it.
I love fish.
A dam would be a wonderful idea.
They're very tasty.
Can we trap the fish and, you know, like collect?
That would be the way to do it. So you create a dam, an energy collecting dam, and then right in front of you have a screen that's sucking up the fish, and it's going in another.
I'm not even talking about building a dam. I'm just put something at the bottom of the bed.
Yeah, it eats fish.
But you can have a little a mesh cover on it so that the water can come through, but the fish can't.
It gets clogged with seaweed, and then you're having to go down there every month with your underwater scuba divers. That degree actually would work out, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah,
all the liberal artists who got their underwater basket weaving degrees.
Yeah,
dude, have you ever tried to weave a basket? That's not easy.
You probably need a degree for that.
Stefan, any further thoughts on this clean energy thing?
Nope, that's it. Thanks, Daryl.
Thank you for the call. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Let's go to Doug calling in from New Jersey. Doug, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, Free Talk. How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Hey, my name is Doug Sattel. I have a YouTube channel.
Yes, we know about the YouTube channel, Doug, because you try to promote it every time you call in. And we're instituting a rule on you that we've instituted on other callers. If you call in about the same thing again, You're going to get a two-month ban, and we don't like banning people. Doug, thank you for the call. Your calls and thoughts welcome. 855-450-FREE.
This is Riley Blake, producer of the Free Talk Live Daily Digest. In addition to the Digest, I host my own weekly podcast called Anarcho Agenda, providing you liberty-oriented content without all the statism. Subscribe to Anarcho Agenda on iTunes, Google Play, or visit anarchoagenda.libsyn.com. That's anarchoagenda.libsyn.com for further details.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can call in, bring up whatever is on your mind. In studio tonight, it's Daryl,
Chris,
and Conan.
And if you want to support the show indirectly, well, consider starting your shopping experience at shop.freetalklive.com. And then from there, you can click links to Amazon, places like Newegg, Walmart, and various other online retailers. And you're not going to spend any more money. You're just going to spend maybe like two more seconds to go to shop.freetalklive.com. And once you're there, just bookmark whatever site you want to go to. And then you don't have to waste those extra 2 seconds to go back to shop.freetalklive.com. And again, it's a way you can wind up helping us by doing something you were probably going to wind up doing anyway. Now, we're going to change gears here and go to an article that I mentioned earlier in passing. And Conan, you seemed absolutely confused that people would have very, very strong opinions about other people not having children. And you mentioned somehow when we were talking, I think, about the free society.
I'm not confused. The only time that I've ever heard this is like born-again Christians are living off-grid on a farm somewhere, and like Nazis who are their kids are needing more for the war machine.
Well, and then let's talk about some libertarians. Hashtag not all libertarians, so don't start sending angry Twitter messages. I don't read anyway because Twitter's absolutely useless. You can't have an intelligent conversation in 140 characters. Hashtag that. But there are some libertarians. No, we've got to have libertarian babies and outbreed everybody that likes the state. And if you don't have liberty babies, then something, something.
Well, now, are there really people saying this?
No, I've heard the wow. argument that the statists are outbreeding us. And if you really want to win, you've got to make more libertarian babies.
I've heard people at libertarian festivals say, we need to outbreed the statist and have liberty babies, and I'm going to have kids that it's going to be their job to bring down the state. People will have children for a mission that, you know, like, I'm starting the mission, they're going to finish the mission. So there are people that have these very strong opinions about people that don't have children. Let's jump into the article from Vice, where there's actually been some research that was done. Study was published earlier this year. I believe it was back in March. And they say since the 1970s, the percentage of younger women remaining childless has been on the rise. That, according to Pew Research studies, in fact, a growing number of couples are choosing small dogs over small humans. But past studies have shown that men and women who choose to be kid-free are often perceived negatively by others. Leslie Ashburn Nardot, an associate professor of psychology at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, or IUPUI, decided to investigate why these perceptions continue to exist, even as birth rates in the United States continue to fall. Her and her team recruited 197 undergraduate psychology students to participate in the study. After being told the experiment had to do with people's sense of intuition and how accurately they can predict the future, they were given one of four versions of an anecdote about a married adult's decision to have children, with variables accounting for gender and whether they had zero or two children. Participants were then asked to rate how psychologically fulfilled they thought the subject was. In another set of questions, researchers also gleaned if and to what extent participants felt disapproval, anger, outrage, annoyance, and disgust towards the subject. So, let me basically rephrase here. I'm test subject, and I'm told to make some decisions, I guess, of how fulfilled do I think Conan is, because Conan has a child.
Right.
How happy and successful do I think Chris is, because Chris doesn't have a child. And then, do I approve? Do I disapprove? Am I angry? Am I outraged? Am I annoyed or disgusted at Chris and Conan? Not only did the participants perceive the voluntarily child-free male and female subjects to be, quote-unquote, significantly less psychologically fulfilled than targets with two children, they also reported significantly greater moral outrage towards them.
All right, you know what they left out? And this was brought up in the first paragraph, whether or not the couple had a therapy dog or a therapy goat or whatever kind of therapy animal they decided they needed to fulfill their lives, because they're having less kids, but they were replacing those kids with pets.
They did not tell the people whether the individuals had pets or not. They told them whether they had children.
And I'm thinking that, if I was asked the same question...
you're calling bunk on this study because it wasn't done the way Conan wants the study to be done?
No, I'm saying it makes sense. So you have a couple. They don't have...
Right, so you're morally outraged at people that don't have children because they need a therapy dog.
The question is, are they more fulfilled? Are they more satisfied?
Who are you to decide if somebody else is living a fulfilling life?
It's my opinion. They're asking you, hey, guy, what's your opinion on whether these people are satisfied or not?
And my
don't have a kid. They have a therapy goat. These people, are they satisfied or not? And you're like, I think they're probably happy.
My response would be, it's not my place to make a decision.
All right. Well, they wouldn't have picked on you because you didn't go to this stupid school.
They wouldn't have picked you because you didn't go to the school either. Let's continue. Again, article from Vice. An interest in having children, according to the researchers, is both a prescriptive and descriptive stereotype for both men and women. When people violate strongly held societal norms and expectations, such as those regarding parenthood and interest in children, there are potentially serious consequences. This backlash is justified in the minds of the perceiver because the targets are thought to have brought it upon themselves by not fulfilling their expected societal roles.
Yeah, I think that I'm not buying it.
Right, because it's not done the way Conan thinks the study should be done.
They left out a crucial element. Is there a component that is actually making these people happy?
I'm going to agree with both of you. I think both of you have a point, actually. I think I definitely would go with, it's none of my business, but on the same time, I think the way it's been worded is influencing the outcome.
Well, and also, we're only reading an article about a study. We're not actually reading the 300-page
study.
Well,
the way it sounds anyway, it does sound like you may lean, it's kind of, it's pulling you in one direction over another, depending on how you interpret the question. So
I don't think, here's somebody that has children, here's somebody that doesn't have children. Who's living a more fulfilled life? That's not a biased question.
We're not talking about whether you could ask the question or not. We just want your opinion. Just stab it. Just stab the kid. Just stab it. Just, what do you think? You think the person is happier or not?
So I don't know, because I know nothing else about the person. Maybe they don't want children. If they don't want children, they're living a happier life.
If they didn't
want children and they have children, they're not going to be as happy as somebody that wanted children and had children.
Well, that should have been option D on the questionnaire. It's none of my damn business. I don't care.
But yet you're still morally outraged about people.
I'm not morally
not
outraged.
Having children because they need a therapy goat or a therapy child. I mean, children are not your therapist.
It's but they're probably, you know,
there are too many parents out there who treat their kids like pets, and they do fulfill them in a way like a therapy goat would.
Wow.
Yeah, there are people who you've never met these women who just have kids because they think it will fulfill their lives. It'll make them complete.
Right, but they're not fulfilled.
Well, all right, that's another conversation.
855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. Are you morally outraged as Conan is about people that don't fit your societal norms? Or do you just not care? This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Possibly time for you and your thoughts if you call in now. And in studio tonight, it's Daryl,
Chris,
and Conan.
And if you have Bitcoin, you want to download the official wallet of Free Talk Live. That would be the Jax wallet, J-A-X-X. You can find it at jax.io or in the app store of your choice. You can hold Bitcoin, Ether, Dash, more currencies. I think they have Zcash functionalities, more currencies on the way. Plus, there is Shapeshift integration that allows for frictionless, easy exchange between the currencies. It was created by a Free Talk Live listener, Anthony DiOrio, who's the creator of CryptoKit and founder of Ethereum. It's easy to back up your wallet and recover your funds with Jax, and they're striving to give you command over your digital life. Coins, contracts, currencies, identity, and more. Your digital command center in the palm of your hand. Jax, the official wallet of Free Talk Live, JAXX.io. We were talking about people being morally outraged about others not having children. Might be able to jump back into that, but first to the phones. We've got Rudy calling in from Arizona, listening to KQEW. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts, Rudy.
Hey, guys. I'm getting over a cold, so got to bear with my voice here.
Yep.
I got a couple of things. How long did it take the Earth to get to 1 billion people?
A really long time.
The first billion? Yeah, a long time.
It got into our Revolutionary War. How long did it get to the second billion?
Somewhere around World War I, I believe.
Our Civil War.
Okay.
It took forever to get to one. That's how many people were. Okay. Some of them don't have kids. They don't have to have kids. There's too many kids. All right, next. You were talking about the fence around the pool. Usually in Arizona, we lose about at least 50 kids a year. They go into the pool. Someone leaves the gate. There has to be a 6-foot fence. Has to have a self-closing gate. Has to have a latch on the inside. And has to be 5 foot tall because there's all these 2- and 3- and 4-year-old kids that keep drowning every year.
Right. So that's Rudy, when we were talking about, just for clarification, because some people hearing your call might not have heard conversation.
I don't mean to be rude, but.
Hold on, Rudy. I want to clarify because there might be people listening that are confused. When we were talking about the pool fences, we were talking about the code enforcer going around in Miami right after a hurricane hit, citing people because their fence had fallen over.
And it takes 10 seconds for a 3-year-old to get away and drown in the pool. I've seen it happen.
Don't know how many people are letting their 2-year-olds run around in hurricane debris. Continue with your thought.
My only argument to that was that there are so many other things that a kid could get killed on versus a open pool.
Yeah, it sounds like a responsibility issue.
You'd still have standing water out there. They could go drown out in the street.
Right. But that's why the rules are the way they are.
Okay, I understand it.
Nobody was arguing against the rule, even though we might argue against the rule here. No. But this was right after a hurricane.
Right. 6 hours after the hurricane hit is not the time for code enforcement to go around threatening people with fines.
And like I say, it takes 10 seconds for a 3-year-old to run.
Yep. And again, people that are cleaning up downed power lines and houses that have been knocked over, probably not letting their kids run around. They're probably keeping the kids, I'm guessing, sheltered in place somewhere.
And it came across as, can you believe how friggin' idiotic this rule is? well, this guy enforcing.
No, it's idiotic for a code enforcer right after a hurricane to go through and cite people for things having fallen over. Do you have another point you want to make or not?
Yeah, I do. I do. You guys were talking about you don't believe in climate change.
That's not what we said. That's not what we said.
Let me get to this. Oh, by the way, Conan, I heard you talk about, you know, they said we had all the hills on there. We did. And you know what happened? We had these people that they got an education. They devoted their life to it. They said there's a hole in the ozone layer. What are we going to do about it? They studied it. And you know what we did? We fixed it.
Wait,
got rid of the CFCs.
Wait, what? Say that again. What did you guys fix?
The hole in the ozone layer.
They banned CFCs.
Oh, come on now, man. Yeah. No, that didn't fix it.
And the hole in the ozone layer closed. It healed itself.
I was told when I was a kid that the hole in the ozone layer could not heal itself. Rudy, thank you.
I was told that it's still there.
Well,
yeah, they banned all the R gases. And people now what do you now? You have people who can't get rid of their refrigerators or air conditioners, and are out there stabbing their air compressors with screwdrivers.
And you can't get the really good light bulbs anymore. You've got to get the CFL thing, and government just needs to stop banning.
No, that's
stuff.
The R ban is a total scam. It's a total scam. It's probably brought on by the electric companies.
Probably. Let's jump back into the article about moral outrage.
Oh God!
Again from Vice. Skipping back a little bit, there was the research that was done earlier this year where they had people, wind up deciding whether they thought somebody was fulfilled or not based almost solely on the fact of whether they had children. And again, quote from one of the researchers, she said the fact that both men and women were stigmatized for choosing not to have kids, despite the fact that the conversation around reproductive rights and a woman's right to choose is so polarizing. She says, quote, I was somewhat surprised by this as well. But that was probably due to my own personal experience as a woman. When I look at the past literature, the few studies that included opportunities for participants to rate men without children yielded similar findings. So it's not just women without children. People are also morally outraged about men that don't have children.
All right. So what do you think societally, why do you think this idea has arisen that we need to have kids
because
to be happy?
There are societal norms, and one of them is you're expected to grow up. Hold on. You're expected to grow up, go to college, get a job, get married, have kids, retire, and die.
But less people are having...
If you do anything else, then people are going to have very strong opinions about
people it. People are having less kids, so shouldn't that change the feelings of these participants? Shouldn't they have different...
One would think, and that's why she's surprised by the findings.
And they're college kids, too, so they're young individuals. You think that they would have a different idea of...
I would think that the reason for this is because every parent has said to their kid that you are what fulfilled me or something to that effect. And that's why kids, even without...
And go to college if you want to have a good life.
Right, and even people without kids believe that this may be true.
She adds that... Unfortunately, the stigmatization is unlikely to go away. She says, quote, it's something we should work to change, but it certainly won't be easy. Anytime there's an imperative, freedom of choice is taken away. People are led to believe this is how things are supposed to be. But that's how many social stereotypes operate, and their prescriptive nature makes them very difficult to change. She adds, my findings did not differ from those of similar studies conducted in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. She says, what I added was the moral outrage explanation. So despite all the change in so many other domains in those 40-plus years of studies, the bias against child-free people remains.
Well, I don't know that it was actual outrage going on, but definitely, my opinion. You want my opinion, Daryl?
I do want your opinion.
If you're not ready to have kids... Don't have kids. Get a cactus.
That's a probably really great idea.
Get a therapy dog.
Therapy cactus? I would not recommend. Have you ever actually accidentally touched a cactus?
You don't actually touch your therapy cactus. You talk to it.
But if you're feeling lonely, you want to hug something, and you're not going to hug a cactus.
Then get a therapy dog, or a cat, or a goat, or whatever.
No.
Hamsters.
Therapy hamsters. And then you can have them dance like what they did back in the 90s on the internet.
And maybe actually make some ad revenue from your YouTube video, from your YouTube channel.
Is that still under copyright, or is that Creative Commons, the hamster dance video?
I don't know, dude. I don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't remember Hamster Dance?
No.
It was like the first thing that went viral on the internet. Somebody made a little image of a dancing hamster.
More than 35 years ago?
And
it was stupid.
And there is this little song.
But it was kind of funny.
And the hamster just kept dancing.
I'll look for it after the show.
Yeah. Look for Hamster Dance. It will fulfill your life.
There you go.
More so than having children or not having children. Whatever you want to do, I really don't care.
That's how you fix the moral outrage.
This is Free Talk Live. We're done for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow, but always online at freetalklive.com.
Ross Ulbricht was convicted in early 2015 of running the infamous Silk Road Underground Market. The Silk Road was a gift to humanity and helped reduce the harms brought on by drug prohibition. For this good deed, Ross has been sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Now, an appeal is Ross's only chance, and he needs your support. Please visit FreeRoss.org, where you can contribute via various methods, including Bitcoin. Visit FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.